blessed to have each of you with us this morning, my brothers and sisters. You know, things change quickly, don't they? Things change quickly. And I think that God allows that sometimes so that we can be obedient, or we can learn to be obedient, and we can learn to be dependent on Him. Think about this. When we left church last Sunday, if you're like me, at some point you went home and probably with a little bit of trepidation, you put the TV on to see how the Saints were doing. And they were horrible. I mean, they were getting slammed in the first half. And then they came out, and somewhere about halfway through the third quarter, it was a brand new ball game. And they had that game won until the last, 8 seconds? I mean, it was crazy how it ended, right? Things change in an instant. We went from, you know, oh man, we're moving on for the NFC Championship game, to, holy crud, how did that just happen? I mean, I sat in my chair speechless. Things change quickly. Think about this week just in weather, how quickly things change, right? I mean, we went from these hard freezes and running water, and anybody got busted pipes? Thank God. There's folks with busted pipes, and we're going to hit 70 today. I mean, things change in an instant. This is the world we live in. This is God's creation. He's the guy who's the master of nature, and it changes. In New Orleans, it'll change overnight. That's where we got that little saying, you don't like our weather? Stick around, it'll change, right? Things change. What was the first real morning of the freeze? Was it Tuesday morning? I guess it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I forget. Wednesday morning? There was ice on the road, and there was an accident not even a half mile up here from church. And a little baby lost his life, and a mother is still clinging to life. They slid on the ice and ended up in the canal. And, 5 minutes earlier, they were leaving their house just to go to, they were bringing the baby to the babysitter so they could go to work. Things change in an instant. It's just the way it is. One of the things that often grieves me for Christians are those folks who are more nominal Christians. They say they're Christians, and I think they really are. I think they're saved. But they don't have the full benefit of Christianity because they don't come to church regularly. They don't have a spiritual life that supports them in the way that God would really want to give them that kind of support. And it's not until something really goes bad, something changes in their life, usually for the worse, that they find themselves turning to God. I was having this very discussion, Mr. John, just yesterday with your sister. She was over here working on one of the annual reports, and she was talking about that. And she says, it's a shame, you know, people don't want God until they realize they don't have any other choice, and that's who they need in their life. And it's just the sad state of humanity. But I would go a step further and say it's a sad state in Christianity sometimes, too. But I think we have a role to play in that as the church. I really do. And that's where I want to land this morning with that gospel reading about what it means to be fishers of men, to go out and fish for the kingdom. But we've got some traveling to do before we can get there. One of the other things Miss Barbara reminded me of she said, what was that thing you said at the leadership retreat on Saturday about people getting stuff thrown at them? I said, oh yeah, that's one of the reasons some people want membership in church. They just want the three things to be thrown at them. Water, when they're born and baptized, rice, when they're married, and dirt, when they're dead. That's what they see the role of the church is. And it's really unfortunate because it's that kind of perspective on the church. When people have that, they're robbed their entire life of the benefit of the church, of the benefit of the fellowship of brothers and sisters coming together to pray for one another, pray with each other, hear the word of the Lord, experience Christ in the word, to experience Christ in the sacrament. It's really unfortunate that, you know, some folks kind of skirt by and they only want to do the minimum. And as that little saying goes, you only get out what you put in. And so if you're not really putting into the church, you're not by definition, it's not a whole lot you can get out of it. If you were here with us last Sunday, the Old Testament scripture reading was from 1 Samuel. And I thought I'd left the copy of it up here. And maybe I didn't, but that's okay. I'll give you the paraphrase of the gist of it. Basically, what had happened was, in the reading, they are in the temple. That's today's. They're in the temple, and the priest's name is Eli. And he's got a young guy who is working in the temple with him, whose name is Samuel. And Samuel is, you know, someone who's supposed to be learning the ways of the temple. He's supposed to be being brought up to be a priest of the temple. And Eli's not doing his job. Fact is, God is angry with Eli because not only is Eli not doing his job that God has called him to, but he's not doing his job as a parent either. Eli's sons are a mess. They have disgraced the temple. And God takes care of this. This is an Old Testament story. Well, let's just say God deals with Eli and his family in a not so pleasant way. But one of the key phrases in that scripture that we heard last week was this phrase. It says, "At that time, the word of the Lord in the temple was rare." Sickening to think that at that time in history, the word of the Lord in the temple of all places, it was rarely heard. There were no prophecies. There was clearly no training going on. This is one of the problems going on with Eli and this young boy Samuel. Samuel's just hanging out there, and he's not being properly trained to be raised up to continue the priesthood in the temple. The word of the Lord was rare. And one of the things I told church last week was that could be a picture of the American church today. The word of the Lord is rare. You don't want to get me started on that, but you know where I stand on that. There's too many churches in the West right now where everything gets preached. You know, focus groups get preached. And whatever the running poll that Fox News or CNN or whoever is publishing, that gets preached from a political angle. And they're not preaching the word of the Lord. They're not talking about the Holy Scriptures. They're not even reading the Holy Scriptures sometime. I told the leadership council when we met last week for our retreat, to me, one of the most important parts of any service is my duty of making you or getting you or preparing you to be able to experience Christ. And it's not by my words. I don't consider my preaching to be anywhere in the top 10 list of most important things that happen on a Sunday morning. If you do, I want you to reconsider that, because there's a lot more going on in this worship service than Reverend Graff and his inability to speak articulately on Sunday mornings. You get to experience Christ in these very scriptures. And to me, that's one of the most important things. And it's absent in some churches. And it was absent in the Old Testament in that story. The word of the Lord was rare. But listen today. Let's fast forward to today's Old Testament story that the lectionary gives us. It's from the book of Jonah. I love that story of Jonah. Unfortunately, because I can relate a little bit too much to Jonah and his disobedience to his call in his life. It opens up this way. The word of the Lord, there's that term again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Do you know why it comes a second time in chapter 3? Because when in chapter 1 and chapter 2, when it came to him the first time, he ignored it. He ignored it. He ignored the word of the Lord. He did what he wanted to do instead of what God was calling him to do. And that's, it's a wonderful Old Testament picture for us. We don't want to be in that position. We don't want to be that temple priest who has a very rare experience with the word of the Lord. We don't want to be this guy, Jonah, who's called to ministry. He's called to go and act as a prophet to a people and to tell them, look, you got a chance. You have got a chance if you repent. If you do this God's way, you've got a chance. and then he doesn't listen. He doesn't obey. Because that's part of the illustration or image of the body of Christ, right? We're called to be the body of Christ. We're called to be the arms and the hands and the legs of Jesus Christ here on earth so that we can go out and do God's will. What is his will? His will is that all people be saved. And that's our calling. That's our calling as individuals. It's our calling as a church. And you're going to be hearing more about that as we go forward. A lot of this is coming from the sorts of things we talked about last week in our leadership retreat. There's some things that are going to be happening at church that are going to require people to step up and be a part of the body of Christ. It starts so, and I want to commend you for it because you're here this morning. It starts with exactly what you're doing. You're coming on the Lord's Day. You're coming to keep holy the Sabbath. You're coming to church on Sunday morning to worship the Lord. If the church is not a church of worship, if the church is not a place where the word of the Lord is proclaimed, where it's read aloud, where it's given to God's children, we've missed the boat totally. That's our first and foremost duty. In order for us to get to be the point where I want to land today, which is where we're talking about what it means to be fishers of other people, to bring them into the boat, we can't do that unless folks are showing up for worship. You can't be a part of the body of Christ if you're not a worshiper. So I commend you for doing that this morning. And I commend you for your discipline. We talked about that at our retreat too, discipline and devotion. It's so important to the life that God's calling us to. What is that life that God's calling us to? Well, he's calling us to be the church. And the church has a great commission on it. And the great commission is spelled out in Holy Scriptures. Jesus, in the very last words he says to his disciples, and you need to put yourself in that place, because today, 2,000 years later, that's us. We're the disciples. We're the modern-day disciples. The very last words in his resurrected body before he ascends to heaven, he says to them the Great Commission. Go out into all the world, making disciples of Christ and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them everything that I've taught you. And he says, and by the way, I will be with you until the end of time. And that's a promise. Jesus is divinity. He is God. He cannot lie to us. He cannot break his promise. He is with us. We don't have to do this by ourselves. His Holy Spirit, in fact, lives in us because we're Christians. So again, we don't have to do this by ourselves. So today in the gospel, he gives us one of those ways to figure this thing out, what we're supposed to do. He goes out, he preaches, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. That's the message, isn't it? Repent and believe the good news. What's the good news? Your sins are forgiven. Repent. What's that mean? Change. It's just that. It doesn't, you know, repent, people think, oh, I got to do something differently. You will, but that's not even at the root of repentance. Repentance starts right here first. Starts in the mind, starts in the heart. It's about stepping back and going, I got it wrong. I need to change my mind about that. If you change your mind about something and you turn it over to God, I promise you, he is with you. He'll get the behavioral part down for you. You may stumble a few times. He'll be there with you every single time. Every single time. The repentance, that's so key. The kingdom of God is near. Why is the kingdom of God is near? Because Jesus is preaching it and he is the king. Kingdom of God is near. Repent. All right, change your mind about all the stuff that you know is not working and believe the good news. What is the good news? God loved you so much that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will have eternal life, shall not die. That's the good news, folks. That by the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Repent, believe that. And then what does he say? He sees these fishermen. He says, come follow me and I'll send you out to fish for people. Follow Jesus, and he's going to make you as a disciple. He's going to make you a fisher of other people. Why? He wants that net filled. He wants more and more people brought into the boat. You go back to that story of Jonah. Jonah got thrown off the boat. The pagans on the boat, if you read that story, the pagans on the boat knew Jonah was disobedient to his God. And that's how they phrase it, because they've got all their gods that they're praying to when the storm hits, and it ain't working. And they recognize Jonah is a chosen one. You are a chosen one because you're a Christian. You have Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit living in you. The pagans know that even to today. They knew that in Jonah's time, and they got so angry with him because he was disobedient to the one true God, they tossed him overboard. They said, we need to get ourselves rid of this guy, because if we're not careful, the lightning's going to strike the boat and we're all going to be dead. And that's when Jonah gets swallowed up by a fish. And people say, oh, I don't really believe that literal story. It doesn't matter. Think about the meaning of that. The pagans knew who he was, and they knew who his God was. And they tossed him overboard, and he got swallowed up. 3 days. It's an image, right? It's an image of hell. It's an image of death. It's an image of Jesus, our Savior, doing what he was going to do for us. Go down to the dead, and on the third day rise again. That's what Jonah is. It's a preface for us. It's a prelude to what Christ is going to do for us. And so what Jesus is asking us to do today is don't deny God. Don't let the pagans see that, you know, you're disobedient. Get obedient. Get on board. It's so much easier. I can tell you this in my own life. I still have my struggles where I struggle with obedience. But the more, I'm 50 years old now, and I guess that means that's a halfway point or something. I don't know. How far are you going to go, Ms. Thais? 89, that's all? No, you're going further than that. You're that today. Ms. Thais is going probably about 120, 130, I'll tell you right now. So she, you know, but if you go to 100, at 50, you're already halfway there. And folks, it took me a long time to realize how much better life is when you just take God at His word, when you believe Him, and when you do what He's asking you to do. So what's He asking us to do? He's asking us not to get thrown overboard. Don't get tossed in the pond and get swallowed up by hell. Instead, He's asking us to go, not be swallowed by the fish, but to catch fish. And the fish are the people who need salvation. The fish are also the people, and this is, honestly, this is the point that I tried to get across to our leadership council when we met, and I've been talking to anybody who listened to me about this. The other fish that Good Shepherd needs to capitalize on because of where we're located in this neighborhood, great community, filled with Christians. Filled with Christians who don't go to church. That's the pond we need to be fishing in. I suspect you got those folks in your family. I suspect you have those folks in your neighborhood. I suspect you see those people at your club meetings. They're Christians. They're saved. They were brought up. They understand who Jesus is. They've made a profession of faith. They may have walked the aisle. They've been baptized. They've done whatever it is that the tradition in which they grew up in brought them to Christ. But they're not coming to church. We need to catch those fish, folks. And I think that that's one of the ways Jesus is calling us to be fishers of people here at Good Shepherd. We need to catch those people in this neighborhood, in this community, and your family, and your friend group, and your clubs, and your circles. And it's as simple as just casting out the net. You're not going to catch anything if you don't cast a net. Cast the net. You know what that is? It's an invitation. It's just, you want to come to church? I'll pick you up. I'll buy you coffee when we get to church. You can impress them. I'll buy you coffee. They don't need to know the coffee's free. You can take them out after church if you want to spend a dollar on them. Get them here. You know why? Because these pews are filled with some of the greatest people in Metairie, Louisiana, and River Ridge, Louisiana, and Harahan. We got it from all over. And when they get here, they're going to see the love of Christ in you. And they're not going to want to leave. And this is how we build the kingdom. We need to get some of that kingdom back for Jesus Christ. And it's my encouragement for you today. It's my prayer for you today. When we closed our leadership retreat last Saturday, the very last exercise I asked everybody to do, I kind of put them on the spot. I gave them about 30 seconds to think of it. We went around the table. I don't know, we had 12, 14 people around the table. And I said, I want you to just name one thing you can do in the coming week or even 30 days, just one thing that you can, a goal you can set, that you can accomplish, that's going to do something to grow the kingdom of the Lord. Right here at Good Shepherd, what can you do? And you know what? When people just stopped and gave a little bit of thought to it, immediately they came up with answers. Well, I know I've got this relative. I need to invite him to church. Or I've got a neighbor who's been talking to me about church, and I've been reluctant. And you know what? I've had people in Good Shepherd tell me this. I've been reluctant to invite people to church. And I said, why? Is it me? Because if it's me, I'll step aside. You can get somebody else. I guarantee you, as good looking as I am, there are better looking pastors out there. So if it's me, let me know if I'm the problem. But that's not the problem. The number one answer I've been hearing from people is our denomination. It's just got a bad image, and I don't want to have to explain that. You know what, folks? Leadership took that excuse off the table. Okay? So if that was your excuse, find a new one or find somebody that you can cast that net, cast that rod and reel, and bring them in. Fish. Go fishing for Jesus. He will make you a fisher of men. It's what he's calling you to do. If you receive it, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Amen.